All right. 1 Peter 4:7, the same passage we read last week, actually. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Good to see you all. So we are in week 5 of a 6-week series on life together as part of the body of Christ. What does it mean to walk together towards spiritual maturity, loving, encouraging one another, and to do that as God intended us? And I want to just give you a sense of how we've been going through this. You've seen this lovely diagram of the body of Christ. And we started in the first week by talking about Jesus, who is, of course, the head of the church, and what he has done for his church, what his goals and desires are for his church. And then in week 2, we looked at some of the leaders of the church that Jesus gives to the church. We talked about the fact that their job is not to do the ministry of the church, but it is to actually equip all the members to do the ministry of the church so that all the members are doing the ministry. And so we're spending 3 weeks now talking about the member ministry of the church. And we're specifically looking at spiritual gifts and how God has given spiritual gifts to each one of us, and he intends us to use those gifts to serve one another, love one another, build each other up. And my goal in this 3-week time on spiritual gifts has really been just to free us. In a lot of ways, to free us from the comparison games we play as we compare our gifts to other people's gifts and remind us, no, God has gifted you exactly how he wants you to be, to free us from some of the confusion about what are spiritual gifts, or do I have 2 of them, do I have 3 of them, what are the labels, to be freed up just to use whatever gifts God has given us to love and serve one another. And so I'm going to close out this part of spiritual gifts today, and my hope really is to inspire us, to encourage us, that we would one last time look at the spiritual gifts and kind of just marvel at what God has done in giving spiritual gifts to his church. And I can tell you in the last 3 weeks, I have done that personally. I've really come to understand just what a beautiful thing gifts are, and really how we get to use those for one another. It's an amazing thing. So I hope that I can take some of the marvel that I've been feeling and put it in your hearts today as a way to close off this section on spiritual gifts. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to focus on a single phrase in verse 10. You may have noticed, if you're paying close attention last week, that I kind of conspicuously skipped over this phrase. It is the second half of verse 10. I'll start at verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. This phrase right here is what has really caught me. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Or more literally, it says this. Talking about using our gifts, serving as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is a remarkable phrase that captures a very remarkable reality. And I want to try to help us understand what Peter is saying, that we would marvel and want to use our gifts all the more when we understand what this is. So what I want to do this morning is I want to walk through 3 words in this phrase. I want the word stewards, the word varied, and the word grace, okay? And I'm going to actually take them in reverse order, and I'm going to start with grace. And I hope that you get a sense of just what a beautiful privilege we have in using our spiritual gifts for one another. All right, so let's take that first word, probably the most familiar, hopefully the most familiar of the 3 words, that word grace. Last week, I mentioned the relationship between the gifts and God's grace. We talked about how the source of our gifts is the grace of God. We looked at passages like this, Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given us. Or in Ephesians 4, Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right? Even the words, the word grace is the Greek word charis. I'll pronounce it that way. The word gift is charisma, or we would say charisma. Okay? So there's the connection between the grace of God and our spiritual gifts. And I want to draw out that connection a little bit more fully this morning. All right? So I want to talk about grace for just a couple minutes and then make the connection between the grace of God and our spiritual gifts. I think that we need to understand what God's grace is. We need to have a full understanding of what God's grace is. So I'm going to just, I want to talk about for about 5 minutes about grace. I wonder if I asked you, what is grace? What kinds of different definitions we would get? Or what ideas would come into our mind when we just hear the word grace? What is grace? In my experience with a lot of Christians, when they hear that question, what is grace? They would answer something like, grace is the thing you get from God when you mess up, right? Right? You're going through life, and we sang a couple songs, but you mess up, you do something wrong, and you deserve to get, you know, punishment, but instead, you receive God's grace. Grace is the thing you get when you mess up. And what I want to suggest this morning is that is an accurate part of grace, but that is a very limited and narrow picture of what grace is biblically. That biblically what grace is something, including that, but much bigger than that. Grace is God's undeserved favor towards us. His unmerited, undeserved favor towards us in all of the ways that he can express that unmerited, undeserved favor and love towards us. Okay, so let me give you a couple examples. Okay, so one of the ways he can express his grace is in what I just said. It's through forgiving us. I mess up, and I deserve something else, but God gives me his grace. So in my disobedience, I can experience God's grace. But I would suggest it's also in my obedience that I can experience God's grace, because I actually can't obey God on my own unless his grace is working in me to help me obey him. I came across this passage this week. Look at this passage. This is Paul speaking about himself. He used to be a big sinner, and he says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." No, in fact, I worked harder than all of them, all the other apostles, he's talking about. I worked harder than all of them, yet it wasn't me, but the grace of God that was with me, that was working in me. So he's saying, it's God's grace that has actually enabled me to work so hard to obey God. You get that? So I think most of us, if I ask you the question, who needs more grace, a disobedient person or an obedient person? We'd all say, a disobedient person needs more grace. And I'd say, well, actually, that's not true. In some ways, an obedient person needs more grace. It doesn't take any grace to disobey, right? It takes grace to obey. And so God's grace is expressed in our disobedience, but it's also expressed in our obedience, in the very thing that enables us to do what God wants. All right? What are other examples of God's grace? We talk about, no cheating, we talk about God's saving grace. We sang about God's saving grace that he gives us at the cross, but theologians also talk about God's common grace. And that's just the grace that he offers to all people at all times. And God's grace is being poured out in so many ways all the time. Here's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, right? And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everyone receives these gracious provisions from God. Psalm 104 talks about some of these provisions. Look at this. God waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. These are all ways of experiencing God's grace that all human beings get to enjoy, right? Nature itself is a great experience of the grace of God. I took this picture this weekend. This is at the Newport Pier. This was a great moment to experience the grace of God for me. I had someone recently tell me, God's grace is so often mediated through the senses. I thought that's really stuck with me. God's grace is so often mediated to us through our senses. I think of grace as this kind of, you know, abstract theological thing, which in some ways it is, but so often God's grace comes to us in very tangible, sensual, sensible ways of experiencing creation. Good food, wine, all these things that the psalmist mentions. All that, see, these are all examples of God's grace being expressed to us. And of course, we also experience God's grace through people, right? People can be avenues of God's gracious favor being expressed to us. We have Moffat and Doreen here today. I got to hug Moffat this morning. Many of you know that to be able to hug Moffat is the closest thing we have to being able to experience a hug from God through Moffat. But God's grace comes through him to us, and of course, in a much more profound way, God's grace is coming to men and women in Zambia through Moffat and Doreen and through the people that they work with, right? We experience God's grace through one another as well. All that to say, grace is not just what we get when we mess up. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us. And he has a myriad of ways at his disposal to give us evidences and examples and specific ways where he offers us his favor and grace to us. The metaphor I like to think of is this. God's grace is the thing we most need in life. It's like if we're a car, grace is the fuel that we need that drives us, or maybe another metaphor. Grace is like the bread that we need to eat that sustains us, okay? And he can offer us that grace in all sorts of various ways. And he is every day offering his grace in 100,000 different ways. And one of the questions is, do we have eyes to see all the ways that God is being gracious to us? So not at all discounting the most important form of grace, but just trying to say grace is God's favor and it is expressed in all sorts of ways. That make sense? See that? So every day you get a chance to feed on the grace of God. And there's so many different ways you get to do that through his word, through other believers, through nature, through meditating God, through his spirit at work in you, all these ways. All right, so I wanted to say that we need to understand that big picture of grace so that we can understand how the spiritual gifts are connected with God's grace. So here's our phrase, serving as good stewards of God's varied grace, meaning the spiritual gifts are one of the ways that God's grace comes to us, right? His grace comes to us through the spiritual gifts of one another. And so I think we also need to expand our understanding what the gifts are. Gifts aren't just cool abilities that we have. The gifts are actually opportunities we have to be channels of God's grace and favor to one another. Just an amazing thing. So with that, I want to look at that second word varied. We are serving as good stewards of God's varied grace. That word varied means just that, various, diverse, multicolored, this manifold, maybe we could use that word. God's grace comes in so many different ways, so many different shades of God's grace. So I was reading a book this week that gave this analogy. I know, Pink Floyd fans, I got it. But the idea being, you know, this is, of course, you know, you have white light that contains all the varied colors in it. And when that light is refracted through a prism, the different wavelengths are refracted at different lengths, right? And you can split the different colors, the various colors of light through a prism. And the author was using that analogy to talk about our spiritual gifts. The God's grace comes to us, and it comes to the church, and then through people's various spiritual gifts, God gives us his grace in all these variety of ways. His varied grace comes to his church through the varied gifts of his people. So last week we looked at this list. These are some of the biblical lists that talk about, you know, the different spiritual gifts in Scripture. And these are all different ways that God's grace comes to us, ways that we can receive and experience his grace. And you've all had this. You know what it's like to be, let's look at left, teaching, right? To be taught in a way that you understand the Bible, so the truth of God's word comes to you through the gift of someone who's teaching. Or giving, to receive from someone who can give generously, or to be led well by somebody. We could use any of these different ways. These are different ways that God's grace comes to us through the variety of gifts. And that's great that there's a variety of gifts, because there's such a variety of needs out there in the church, right? And so God's grace needs to come in all these different forms according to what each one of us needs at any particular moment. And the gifts offer that to us. So there you have it. You've got the various gifts being used, God's grace working in the church in these various diverse, many colored ways as each one of us is using our gifts to serve one another. So that takes me finally to this third word, this word steward. When we're using our gifts, we are serving as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, what is a steward? I don't use that word too often anymore. Another word would be a manager. It's same kind of idea. A steward or a manager is, of course, somebody who is working with somebody else's resources, right? So in the first century, you'd have a wealthy landowner. All of Peter's audience would know this. You have a wealthy landowner. He's got land. He's got home. He's got, stuff. And he has a lot of servants in his household, doing the farming, doing the housework. And so he hires a steward or a manager, and the manager is responsible to care for all the different people in the house. And he takes the owner's financial resources and he stewards them for the sake of the servants. It's not his stuff. It's the owner's stuff, but he's given management of it for the sake of other people. We use the term financial stewardship, right? There's the place where we see it. And when we say financial stewardship, what we're saying is our money is actually not our money, right? Our money it's actually God's money. It's all God's, but he's given it to us to manage, to try to impact his world in ways that we think he would want. So here we're being stewards, but we're not being stewards of money. What are we being stewards of? Grace. We're being stewards of grace through the use of our gifts. We don't possess the grace. The grace is God's. But through our gifts, we become stewards of that so that God's grace through us, we can be a channel of God's grace to other people. So John Piper's got a helpful analogy here. He talks about the analogy of like a waitress or a waiter, a server at a restaurant, okay? So I want you to try to picture this. Picture your favorite restaurant right now. What's your favorite? If you could go somewhere tonight, it could be anywhere in the world, okay? I want you to picture your favorite restaurant and the meal that you would order at that restaurant, okay? So for me, I actually don't have a favorite restaurant, but the meal at a really good restaurant would for sure be a nice filet, probably some really good mashed potatoes, some sort of greens, and then a good glass of red wine. And some water. That's like my ideal. And then like a chocolate lava cake, at the end. That's kind of my ideal. All right. So I want you to picture you're there. You have come for the meal. That's why you're there, is for the meal. But of course, you have a server. You have a waiter or a waitress. And they are stewards of that meal to you, okay? So they meet with you, and they first find out what your need is. Meaning, they take your order, right? They take your order, they ask you, and then they go back, and they bring this meal to you, and they serve as a steward, okay? They're not the meal. They're not the reason you're there, but they are a steward, a servant of the meal to you. And that's the analogy that John Piper runs with our spiritual gifts. In our spiritual gifts, we are like that server. We are not the meal. We do not have the grace of God to offer. We have the gift, but we can, through our gift, be like, our gift is like the plate, and the meal is God's grace, and we get to serve that grace to people through the use of our spiritual gifts. We're not the meal. God's grace is the meal, but we get to offer that to people in specific ways through our gifts. So really what gifts are is our own unique personal way of being able to offer the grace of God to others, to one another. And I just think, what a privilege that is. I mean, that's what I was struck with this week. I don't know if this is hitting you at all right now, but that's an amazing privilege to be able to actually offer God's grace, the grace of the living God, to other people through our gifts. It's a privilege to do it. It's a privilege to receive it. So I was thinking of myself, you know, hopefully I have the gift of teaching. If I don't, I'm in the wrong job. But let's say I have the gift of teaching. This is an amazing thing, that I get to, through that gift, be hopefully a channel, serve God's grace to you, that every once in a while I'm speaking, but every once in a while, not every Sunday, but every once in a while for you, God speaks to you. The living God speaks to you through me. And those of you who know me know I'm a really ordinary guy with ordinary problems and ordinary gifts. But on occasion, the living God of the universe, actually, you come away from this time, or maybe it's someone up here saying something else, having heard from God. Like, what? To me, that is such a humbling privilege to be able to offer that. And all of us, whatever our gifts are, to be able to listen to somebody well, and for them to come away that having felt like God met them and heard them through our listening, to be able to serve somebody practically, and maybe to know that they experience God's love through that service. And it's not only a beautiful thing for those of us who use gifts, but then it's a great thing to be able to receive that grace through one another's gifts. I mean, what a privilege. I can remember a very distinct moment in college. It was a worship service, and in the middle of worship service, there was a time of like 5 minutes of silence. And I was sitting next to a good friend, and I can't even remember what I was going through now, but I was really struggling with something. I was really anxious, or there was something I was really struggling with, and I'm praying in silence, and God, like, I can't remember what I said. I was like, where are you in this? I don't feel you in this. I don't want to do in this. And my friend, who never did this before or after, right in that moment, just whatever sparked him, he reached out and just put his hand on my back right there. And I swear, his hand was the hand of God. It was like, from my perspective, it was like, God literally reached out and touched me. that's what it felt like to me, through the hand of my friend. And so to be able to not only receive from people, but to actually experience having, through them, experience a little taste of God's love and grace in our lives is an amazing thing. And there are people in this church that have experienced that, families that are going through, you know, a crisis, something's going on, and people rally around them. And they'll often say, coming out of that, like, we just felt so loved. And then we say, we felt loved by God through this body. You guys were very much the hands and feet of Jesus to us. So what a great privilege to be able to actually serve God's grace to one another and to be able to receive God's grace in its various forms through each other's spiritual gifts. One last time you see this. What a beautiful thing that is. In the first century, this was a revolutionary concept, okay? You got to think, in the old covenant, the priest is the person who offers the grace of God to people through the sacrifices. And in some churches today, the priest continues to be the one that offers grace to the people through the sacraments or through whatever it may be. This is revolution. We are all a kingdom of priests, right? We get to all be stewards of God's various, varied, diverse, multicolored grace to one another. Just one big grace fest, basically. It's just a beautiful thing. Is that moving? Yeah? I just think that's beautiful. So as we leave this 3 weeks on spiritual gifts, I want to leave you with two verses in light of this. And my charge and encouragement. In light of all of this, the charge is, therefore, go out and use your gifts for the sake of others. This summer, I was reading through 2 Timothy, and I came across this passage that I sat with for a couple weeks. Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul, of course, this senior pastor, church planter, teacher, and Timothy was this young pastor, teacher. That was his gift, I think. He was a little timid and just young. And this is what Paul says to him. He says, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So at some point, Paul and the elders prayed for Timothy, and he received this gift of pastor, teacher. Could have been other gifts as well. I don't know. But fan it into flame, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I love that image. Take this gift and fan it into flame. I love fires. I'm a pyro. I love building fires. I love starting fire. I love the start where you've got the newspaper out and you've got that, and then you're just getting the kindling going. And of course, what you've got these little flames, and what you end up doing is you're fanning it, right? You're blowing on it, and you're taking this little flame and building it into a fire. And that's the image that Paul is using. Timothy, God's spirit has started a fire with you. Don't put it out. Don't neglect it. Nourish it. Fan it into flame. And that's what I want to say to us as a community. There's so many gifted people that I'm looking at right now. And I think the Spirit just wants to keep breathing and fanning into flame these gifts so that the body is built up. So go out and use your gifts. And the last thing I want to say is this. As you do that, remember that you're just a steward, okay? It is not about your gift. It is about God's grace. People do not need your gift. What people need is God's grace. But your gift is one of the ways you get to offer God's grace to one another. Let's look at our passage one last time. Verse 11, I'll leave you with this. This is how we think as stewards. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If you have a speaking gift, don't just start speaking. Think and pray, God, what would you want to say to this person? What do I prayerfully consider? What do I think you would want to say to this person? And speak those words. Next phrase, if anyone serves, if your gift is through practical service, he should do it with the strength God provides. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Depend on God's grace in your own life, okay? And do it in dependence on him so that in all things, God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So that as we use our gifts, God receives the glory and we do not. And so what that means is as we go out and use our gifts, the spiritual gifts are not a plug and play. You don't just, I enter into a situation, here's my gift, plug and play. It's always this prayerful discernment. God, what are this person's needs? What are you wanting to do in their life? Right now? How is your grace wanting to bless them? And how can I take whatever I've got, whatever you've given me, to hopefully be some small channel of your encouragement and grace to them so that you and not me gets to go. So this person walks away not going, man, Dave is really gifted. But that so they go walk away saying, God, thank you for meeting me today. That's the goal. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we've sung about your grace today and your mercy. And on another Sunday, that's exactly what we need again. We need your grace. We need it in 100 different ways. Thank you that your grace is coming to us all the time. Your varied grace comes to us through so many different ways. And thank you that it comes to us through one another. And so I pray that you would fan into flame these gifts that you've given to this community, that we would be inspired, we would be encouraged to go out and try to love and serve people as best we can and to do that depending on you so that you get the glory, we don't get the glory. But fan into flame these gifts, Lord, so that you would build us up in maturity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.